Blog Talk Radio.
I need a drink, damn it. Oh, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, with the most, the man with no skills at all to play any type of sports. That's why I'm doing this podcast right now. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have another no-talent guy, the one, the only.
Yeah, the no-talent hack, Sean Black, in the building once again.
All right. Before I forget, I'd like to say thank you to our men and women of the armed forces that serve our country and that made a great sacrifice for this country as well. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. And instead of a typical show about topics, we decided, Sean and I decided to do something about sports because a lot has happened this weekend and even tonight. But before I go to the topics, I got Phil, the Fishman Fisher, in the house.
What's up, Hot Rod?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? Just an update. It is the Stanley Cup Finals have started today. It's 3-1 in the third in favor of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, that's not much of a surprise, considering Pittsburgh ran through the postseason to get to this point.
Oh, yeah.
Well, looking at the second period, Nashville only had one goal to show for it. They held the Penguins to no shots on goal in that second period.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say in the first period, P.K. Subban thought he scored the first goal of the game, but the Penguins did challenge it, and it was ruled that Subban was offside.
Yes. Technology, what a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing and a bad thing at the same time. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Phil says, we got Stanley Cup Finals going on right now. This afternoon, we had a crazy baseball brawl between the Nats and the Giants. We had a crazy comeback.
Oh, my God. That was all I know is Bryce Harper got plucked not once but twice, and it took three people to take the guy from the Giants off the field. Three people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I think Harper will probably be facing a nice suspension for it because he did come after the guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you think about it, why wouldn't he?
Well, okay, let's talk about that first right away. This morning, like Phil said, the guy got striked twice, Bryce Harper. 98 mile per hour ball, Sean Black. Tell me, guys, if I strike a ball like that to you, you won't come after me right away? Let's be honest.
Here's the thing. If you're a pitcher, everybody comes to the conclusion that a pitcher who throws a pitch that gets away from him, he's trying to throw inside to try to back the batter off the plate. He's crowding the plate a little bit too much. That is the excuse that lots of pitchers use. We've also seen when pitchers have lost control. This is not the case because a lot, and I mean a lot of people, especially pitchers in the National League East and especially in the National League, cannot stand Bryce Harper. They think he's arrogant. They think he's whatever they may think of him.
But Bryce Harper is one of the top guys right now in Major League Baseball for
and
the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
So he's doing his thing. He could talk the talk and walk the walk like Jose Bautista for Toronto Blue Jays. I can't stand him, but guess what? He talked the talk. If he wants to swing back his bat and swing it to the ground, he could do it. He hit the home run. He hit the game-winning home run. So why not?
Yeah. Problem is, in baseball, there's always the code of ethics, no Cadillacing, no showing of the pitcher, a lot of that old-school mentality. And apparently, if you show somebody up or you celebrate or, God forbid, you actually look happy because you accomplished something, it's almost like man law that you have to actually drill him as hard as you can. Now, any pitcher that goes out there and says that he's going to do something and it's going to be, it's not retribution, and I lost control of the pitch, it's a bunch of garbage. Because these guys that are there are the best pitchers in the world. If you're on a Major League Baseball team and you are on a Major League roster, you have enough control to know pinpoint where you could probably throw a baseball at 95 miles an hour and put out a candle 5 inches away from a pitcher's nose. So if you can do that, you cannot say that you lost control of the pitch. If it hit him in the back, if it hit him in the shoulder, or if it went behind him, that's one thing. You plunk somebody in the arm or in the head at that velocity, you're doing it on purpose, and that's the problem.
All right, so Phil Fisher, do you think Bryce Harper should be suspended a game or two?
Oh, I think that, well, he did come after the guy, so, of course, you know he's going to get suspended. Probably maybe one or two games the most, I would think.
Hunter Strickland, should he get a big suspension?
He did beam the guy, and, you know, he did fight back, and, you know, granted, if it would have been a boxing match, I think he'd have won. But both players will be getting suspensions regardless. I don't know how many games baseball is going to do it. It'll probably be one, two games the most, I would think.
This is the equivalent of what happens in the NBA when two guys or whoever on the court gets into a fight. And then the players that get off the bench that go on to the court get suspensions, even though you know they had nothing to do with it. This is a little different from the sense that you know the aggressor was the pitcher. And if you plunk somebody like that, you're expecting somebody to do something or at least get back into it and retaliate. I don't know how much restraint you could use after those two hits that Harper took. But as I said
Sean, like you said earlier, you know, there's an ethic code in baseball. If I see my man still getting struck by the ball by you, and he's coming after you, I got to defend my partner, because that's my teammate. So, and let's play the field, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is, with that, and I've had an issue with this for quite some time, especially now when we hear so much about concussions and injuries and all the other things, if you know you're going to get quote-unquote retribution from the other team's pitcher, if you're going to plunk the guy, you plunk him in the leg or the arm, that's it. When you start seeing guys headhunting, I have a problem with that. And these are the kinds of issues today where we can continue to talk about concussions in football. Mm-hmm. Now we're starting to hear about it in hockey with all of the body checks and people getting crashed into the board. We hear about it in lots of other sports, lacrosse, soccer. We're starting to hear much more about it now. That becomes an issue with me. So something has to change somewhere. And until it does, you're going to have things like this happen where people are going to get hurt.
It's unreal what goes on when one pitch can start a brawl. Just a quick update: Nashville has just made it 3-2. Back to topic. It was a power play goal.
Okay.
Yeah, but isn't top of the third right now? So I'm not worried about Pittsburgh. No matter what, Pittsburgh going to win the final again. You hear it right now from the King of Kings. The Penguins got this. But they're used to this thing before. This is not the first time, the third time, or the fifth time. They won a few championships already, a few cups.
Well, they've already have four. They have four Stanley Cups.
Yeah, and this is their fourth with Sid the Kid, who's no longer really a kid anymore. So keep that in mind.
Well, a lot of people do have another name for Mr. Crosby, but I won't get into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next up, Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the heck he is thinking.
Over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest golfers of all time got arrested for DUI in Jupiter, Florida. Now, my question to you guys, do you think it was, he said in a statement, he was taking prescription drugs, he had an overreaction, he was not paying attention, and that's what happened. Do you believe it was really intoxication or medication on drugs?
Well, as a certified pharmacy technician for now over 10 years, I mean, there are times where prescription drugs do have the side effects where you can get drowsy. And they tell you, and most doctors write on the prescription, like, I'll give you an example. Let's take hydrocodone, which became a class 2 narcotic a couple of years ago. And a lot of the prescriptions that I do see, they will say, caution, sedation, do not drink alcohol while on this drug, do not drive while on this drug, do not operate or lift heavy machinery with this drug. So you do have a lot of prescription drugs where these things can occur. Phenergan is another one. I said hydrocodone. A lot of the oxycodones could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what? But then again, you know, when you're in the limelight, you know, it's always going to be out there regardless.
True. Sean Black.
However, if he was drinking alcohol while taking something like that, then you know what? He has no one to blame but himself.
Yeah, this is the point that I was going to get to, and the classic case is here for the longest time. Now, maybe he was on a medication and drank something, that could be a plausibility, but this is what I'm going to say. Tiger Woods, over the last, I don't know, 20 years, has shown himself as like another person that I'm going to kind of compare him to image-wise, Bill Cosby, who has, in the public eye, brought out a personality. He's brought out a certain way that he carried himself in front of the cameras to show that he was a wholesome family individual that cared about his kids, that cared about his family life, that was careful not to get in any trouble, et cetera, et cetera. We go back to, what, 2008 or 2009, when his marriage fell apart, when it was shown mm-hmm. that he had the cheating instances. His game fell apart when he got hurt. And now he's had multiple back surgeries. He's had knee surgeries. His game, he's fired so many different caddies and coaches, and he's gone through. His entire personal life has fallen apart, which has actually led to his professional life falling apart. And he's lost many sponsors over the sexual trysts that he's had and the multiple infidelities that were shown that he finally came out and explained in that press conference. But everything has to be prepped the right way to the camera. And I think this is just the latest instance in the fact that he and his persona, much like A-Rod and all the other guys that have put up a persona in the camera, but the private life is completely different, has fallen apart and has shown that he has been nothing more than an act with a facade. And then this is just falling apart in front of everybody's face.
But excuse me, Sean. Remember one thing. I met Tiger Woods a long time ago. He was never a likable person. He was always an a-hole because he believed he was the top of the world or the greatest golfer in the world. So maybe some of that karma went back to him and the way he treated people back then.
Yes. He still believes, and this is as early as maybe 2 months ago, that all I have to do is get healthy and I'll be great again and I'll do this and I'll do that. He hasn't won a major since 2010. So we're talking 7 years. He hasn't won a tournament since 2013. He is the Tiger Woods that we know as an athlete, the one that was dominating, that was winning majors, that was the best front running guy on the greens. Once he got on the front nine, the back nine was his. That guy is gone. What we have now is a shell of his former self trying to find his way in his life right now. I don't know what's going on in his personal life per se, as far as whatever relationships he may or may not begin, business partnerships, etc. We know as far as his playing on the golf course, Tiger Woods, that guy is gone.
You're basically saying that there's no comeback for Tiger. It's over.
No. He can play. He can, if he can stay healthy, he can play and he can still make money and he can still be ranked. But as far as chasing number one, chasing Jack Nicklaus for most majors of all time, that's not going to happen. He can't stay healthy enough. It's not going to happen.
All right. One of my producers asked, do any of you guys feel sorry for Tiger Woods?
No, I don't feel sorry for him at all. And I took the reason why, and Phil, you might agree with me on this one. The reason why I don't feel sorry for him is because he put himself in the position to do great from when he first stepped on the playing field and getting out there on the golf course and doing what he did from 1997 on. All the years that he put in winning tournaments, nobody looked at him negatively at all. He was doing what he was breaking records. He was winning championships. He was getting money hand over fist. What he did
was supposed to be a billionaire. He was supposed to be a billionaire.
Exactly. But what he did to himself because of his greed and because of, like you said, his arrogance. And his arrogance was his undoing. And when he started going through different caddies and going through different coaches and changing, well, my swing doesn't need to change. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. And I'm invincible because now I can go any seat, any woman I want without anybody knowing. Knowing he has children to look after that are his. He's a married, was a married man at the time.
Oh,
all
sorry,
this
Sean.
Stuff. He thought of.
Excuse me, Sean. Breaking news: the score is tied 3-3 now.
Oh,
I was gonna say something, but I didn't want to interrupt Sean.
I do it all the time to Sean. It's okay.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Ronnie. You've been interrupting people for years. That's all news.
Come on, I'm the hot rod. But okay, back to you, Phil. Do you feel sorry for Tiger Woods?
Not at all. Go ahead, Sean.
No, go ahead.
I agree with everything that you said. I mean, when these athletes, you know, they put themselves up at the top, and once the money starts coming, once they start getting the endorsements and the big money, it goes to their head. And then, you know, once it goes to their head, then all this stuff outside the game or the workplace, that's when all this stuff starts to happen.
But exactly. Phil, that's what I'm about to say. Can you blame athletes today, even back then, for that type of power? Well, think about it. It's safe to say that none of us are billionaires, especially me. I'm a brokenaire. But money, we all agree, money changes people. If you was in that same situation, do you think you might be something similar like Tiger Woods? I mean, yes, right now you say, no, you will not handle it differently. But think about it. If you was in that situation, or that power, or that money.
Yeah.
You might be in the same situation, too, as Tiger Woods. You might think you might be invincible. Well, that's what money is, and that's what the limelight do to you. But we see
one
this
of the things that people say when they get money is that unless you have a strong will, money will only intensify the personality that you already have. So if you are a person that is a philanthropist, you like to give money away to charities, or you like to do certain things in your spare time, like, you know, Habitat for Humanity, something like that in your spare time, maybe making that money will make you more philanthropic in your life. You may want to go ahead and do more charitable works and be much more of a philanthropist.
Name a celebrity that does that today.
Well, lots of celebrities do that. They do.
Yes.
They have their own foundations and charities.
Pass right off.
Well, wasn't who is it from the Jets had a charity golf tournament? I forget which sickness it was going to, but I know that he had a lot of people show up. I just don't remember off the top of my head which guy from the Jets it was.
Yeah,
but I know he did have a lot of people.
True. No, there are athletes that do something for the community, giving back. But at the same time, some of them are doing it for their own image, their own facade, you know, to make themselves look good, or they've been forced by the organization to do something, you know, to make everybody look good. You think these athletes care? Some do, some don't. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Do you want
I can see it's 50-50.
Yeah. Okay.
But for Tiger Woods, you see that mugshot? Do you think he was like,
oh my God.
He looked like he just finished snorting about 55 kilos of cocaine. He looked like he was completely out of it. And to show on TV the picture of what he looked like when he was winning golf tournaments, and then they showed the mugshot. I think I saw it on ESPN this morning. He looked disheveled. He looked like he didn't know where he was. And unfortunately, this is what most people are going to remember Tiger Woods by going forward, because he hasn't done anything else positive in the last 7 or 8 years that anyone can latch on to. He doesn't have the sponsorship that he once had. His name doesn't carry anywhere near as much clout as it once did. He can't stay healthy enough to make sure that everybody knows Tiger is back. And nobody out there in the golf world looks like that, you know, they keep saying, well, who's going to be the next Tiger? I don't hear Tiger Woods' name used as a comparison at all anymore. And I think that's the biggest thing that you see when people talk about golf, is that I don't hear Tiger's name anymore mentioned in that ideology that, well, somebody's got to catch Tiger. We always talk about Jack Nicklaus. We always talk about Arnold Palmer. We always talk about Lee Trevino and all the other golf players that have been great over a certain amount of time. I don't hear Tiger Woods' name anymore.
Yeah, but do you consider Tiger as still one of the greatest golfers out there?
Oh, of course.
Oh, of course.
What do you think?
Yeah, you have to.
I'm like, yes, he may screw up at the end, but in the beginning of his career, once again, like I said, he was almost a billionaire athlete from all his sponsorship and promotions and video games. Video games for golf back then was hot, thanks to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods changed the market completely for golf. Like, I'm not going to lie, not to throw too much race in it, but black people got to golf a little bit because of Tiger Woods, like watching it.
Oh,
and
you're dead on about that.
Even after Tiger Woods, you know, scandals and all that stuff, people would still watch for him to make that comeback. They will root for him no matter what. I mean, even though, let's say Tiger was going to play tomorrow, people will make that great comeback, because you never know. Because he made, like Sean said, golf interesting, over breaking records. Like, he was phenomenal. So he
just an interruption. Pittsburgh's just gone ahead. 4-3 Pittsburgh, 3:17 to go in the third.
I guess it's safe to say that the goaltenders in both of these games are not holding up their end of the bargain, and neither are their defensemen in front of their own zone. So it's going to be a high-scoring game regardless.
But
as you were saying,
we got K-Dog on the line now. He probably will be talking about Donald Trump now, but he forgot this is a sports show. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up,
Phil?
What's going on? Well, you know, while you guys are on the subject about Tiger Woods, well, Tiger Woods, one of the greatest players in the game of golf, but however, his image was tarnished by the scandal. And now this latest DUI is going to further tarnish his name. I mean, it's been one of those interesting things. Like, you see the rise of a hero and you see him descend into complete oblivion, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. The people are still waiting for Act 3. Usually an athlete goes through three acts. You get the first act where they were good and dominant. The second act is always the downfall, because every time you, as they say, you want somebody to be a kingmaker, and then that king gets dethroned, then you want to see the third act where that king actually gets his crown back. I think everybody has been waiting for that third act, and it's probably never going to happen.
Well, we have been waiting for this third act. I mean, it hasn't happened. It really hasn't. And now with this happening, I doubt if it's going to happen. But if it does, it's going to take a whole lot. But however, yeah, Phil, I'm watching it. It's 3-4. Wow, Penguins.
4-3.
Yeah. 4-3. Penguins.
Listen, getting back to what we're talking about, you know, I also think a lot, when it comes to athletes, regardless of what sport you're in, sometimes I think you have to surround yourself with the right people.
Exactly.
And if you're going to surround yourself with the wrong people, you're going to get in trouble. It's no good. I mean, Mike Tyson, I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, as crazy as he is,
thank you.
Surrounded
well,
himself with
him.
The wrong people.
Well, you
the
know,
I can't
what
prove
Mike Tyson,
my Tyson.
With Mike Tyson was that, you know, when after Cus D'Amato died, it all went downhill for him from there because, you know why, he trusted in people like Don King, of all
yeah.
people, who robbed him blind.
But, true, K-Dog. No, true. By the same time, Don King helped pull Mike Tyson on the map even further into the phenomenal
yeah.
boxer he
right,
was
Right, he
back
did.
Then.
Right, he did. But at the same time, he robbed him blind.
Well,
there was a,
okay.
There was,
he
you
came,
know, and Mike
Tyson,
Tyson
did not have the, he did not have proper education.
Nope.
Came from the streets. So he looked up to Don King. So, of course, Don King go rob him. He doesn't know
yeah,
anything about.
Because you know why? Because guess what? Don King saw him as, you know, as illiterate. Like, oh, this guy's a, you know, I'm, allow me to say this, but, well, the guy's a dummy, so I'm just going to rob, he's not going to know when I'm robbing him. I'm just going to put him out there like a clown. And then after that, then, oh, well, when I'm taking in all the goods, go ahead. Go ahead, Tyson. Go into the side
you know,
of the ring.
You know, but here's the thing outside the ring. He was a crazy person, and I ha-
yeah.
and I'll tell you a little tidbit. When I lived in Long Island, my neighbor I had a neighbor owned a hardware store, I think on the Spanish
yeah.
Harlem border, and
yeah.
Mike Tyson, you know, surrounded by bodyguards, came into the store, and you know the Navy, you know, wanted to say what's up to Tyson. The bodyguard said no, we're here to protect you. Just the guy said, leave him alone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Tyson said
by the way,
impressive.
It's 5-3 Pittsburgh.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Sounds like a
it's
empty
over.
Net goal.
Yeah,
okay,
Pittsburgh is going to take this.
Well, okay.
But that's what my neighbor told me, you know. He the bodyguard said, we're here for your protection.
Wow.
Leave him alone.
Well, you know
yeah,
what? That makes sense. That makes sense. You go up to Mike Tyson, hey, Mike Tyson, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Guess
exactly.
what? He
will
knock
you out.
He's
going to snap.
Yeah.
He's going to snap and say, why are you approaching me? And there are a lot of athletes out there who you cannot approach. That's and I'm glad you brought that up, Phil, because you see, when it comes to athletes, like everybody knows, is that they have an image to maintain. And all athletes do that, regardless of the sport. You have an image to maintain, but when it comes to the fans, there are some athletes out there who have a problem with interacting with their fans. They don't like
Oh, exactly.
It. And that's one of the things that Tiger Woods didn't really do a whole lot of. And as
yeah.
we've just kind of encompassed that whole ideal, like I said before, Tiger had a carefully adopted persona that was used out in the public to keep away from all of the stuff that he did privately. And in the
yeah.
example that we just brought up with Mike Tyson that we bring up with Tiger Woods, look at the difference between those two guys and LeBron James. LeBron
right.
James has Maverick Carter and his quote-unquote entourage, his money crew, that makes sure that he stays on focus because that man is about making his money, making his
yeah.
billion, and getting his brand worldwide. And he doesn't want to do anything that is going to damage that ideology.
Nope.
Damage that image.
That's true.
And he's going to make sure that his brand is never sullied by anything away from what he is trying to do. And this is the difference
right.
between a lot of these athletes that you see. Tiger Woods, the complete opposite.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to give you one example of an athlete. Rodney, I know you're a big Giant fan. I know, Sean, you're a Giant fan as well as I am. Lawrence Taylor.
Thank you. Yeah.
He is in the NFL Hall of Fame, and
mm-hmm.
look at all the crap he has done
oh,
outside the field.
Yeah. Oh, man. Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest players ever. I mean, he just had a very bad break. The drugs, messing with prostitutes, it's been a storm for this man. A terrible
underage prostitutes. Remember that she was
yeah,
underage.
Yeah, underage.
Yeah.
yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, the prostitutes, the drugs. He just went spiraled out of control.
And yet he's in the NFL Hall of Fame. When you look
yeah.
at Major League Baseball, Pete Rose, He's banned only because he was gambling.
Yeah.
And yet he is one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
So do you think he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame finally?
You know something? I do. And the reason why I say that is he gambled. So what? He gambled and he got caught. How many of these other athletes do it? I mean, come on. You're getting an NHL team. You're getting an NHL team in Vegas, for crying out loud. You think half these guys are not going to be going into the casinos after the game?
Of course they are. Listen,
Pete Rose got caught. Everybody
goes out and enjoys themselves. It's just that they don't get caught. Pete Rose did.
But, okay, what about the AKA steroids abuse? Like Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire.
Should they
be elected to a Hall of Fame with an asterisk next to them?
I don't think they're ever going to get into the Hall of Fame with everything been going on.
Exactly.
I have a feeling that that's going to change. And here's the reason why.
Really?
Because a lot of these guys that were quote-unquote steroid guys, if you've noticed, some of them are starting to slowly creep back into getting employment in Major League Baseball.
Exactly.
Mark McGwire is working as a hitting coach. Barry Bonds is working back with the Giants on a major league level as far as being a coach. What we're starting to see are players that were part of the steroid era are starting to now get back into the good graces of Major League Baseball. And here's the reason why. The reason why a lot of these players aren't in the Hall of Fame, and Phil, you'll probably back me up on this, is that the baseball writers, especially sports writers, are very vindictive with very long memories. And
yes,
when
they are,
they're old school. If they know that you cheated, they're going to make you pay for it as long as they can pick up a pen and paper and write. And now
we're
starting to see a lot of the sports writers are retiring, or they're getting out, or they're unfortunately passing away. And we're starting to see newer, much more nuanced sports writers that can now take those stats and say, well, somebody hit those home runs, somebody got those RBIs, somebody stole those bases, somebody played all those games. So at some point, you know that they had to go in the Hall of Fame just based on the numbers, but at what point are they going to get in? And I think that's the difference right now.
It's very
okay, well, guys, we got to go to the main event topic that everybody's waiting for. I'm going to text right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this Thursday is round 3. In the NBA Finals 2017 of the Golden State Warriors versus Cleveland Cavaliers versus LeBron James, because, you know, everybody forget about the other team.
Exactly.
So,
good grief.
So this time, the first time they met, Warriors won. Second time, Cleveland won. Third time is the charm. But the special edition is this one. Is Kevin Durant, the guy who left Oklahoma Thunder to join the enemy to face the other enemy. So the enemy of the enemy is my friend, I guess. So starting with you, K-Dog, who do you pick to win the NBA Finals and why?
I picked the Golden State Warriors because you know why?
In
because
what? In
of
five
their
and
weapon.
Six or seven?
I picked them to win in Game 6 because you know what? If there is I hope there is a Game 6 because if I see there is nothing that goes past Game 6 or 7, I will be very upset. I'm going to tell you why. The Golden State Warriors now have a brand new weapon, and his name is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has been playing like a beast. I mean, look at what he did in the last game versus the Spurs. He scored like 29 points. So this, and Steph Curry also scored like 35. Now, you see, the difference is between last year's Warriors and this year's Warriors, like I said before, Kevin Durant. So look for the Warriors to win it in Game 6.
To the Fishman Fisher.
Yeah, this is intriguing. You know, I know you guys have been keeping up with the NBA. I've been watching, you know, with the Stanley Cup and, you know, looking at with the NBA and glimpsing, you know, it's like Cleveland and Golden State and their respective conferences just ran through everybody. it was ridiculous. The way that the Spurs of all teams, the way Golden State just swept them.
And then
Cleveland just handled the Celtics came in, into the playoffs as on a hot streak. I mean, and then Cleveland just said, F you, we just blew them away too. And yet Boston got the number one pick in the NBA draft. I don't know how that figured. I can't figure that out. But
Sean, before I go to you, I got Max on the line. Max, who do you pick in the NBA Finals and why?
Well, I just go by who I want to win and who I think should win. Who I want to win is Cleveland Cavs. Think we'll win, we'll go to State.
Why? Yeah. Because of Kevin Durant? Is that a major factor?
Yeah, he's amazing. He's a score machine. He's a machine. He's the second best player in the league besides LeBron James.
Second best. Sean Black, do you agree with that? The KD is the second best player behind LeBron?
I'll give him that. Based on just raw talent, wingspan, being able to drop 30 in the sleep. You know, that's the kind of thing he can do. If I'm looking at a prediction in this, as everybody's been looking at the Warriors and we're looking at this in the same ideology, I think that we're going to get a 7-game series again.
Absolutely.
I still have a feeling. This is just me. I have a feeling that Cleveland is going to win this series in 7. And the reason why I say that, even though that the matchup problems that Kevin Durant poses at any time, I think what we're going to look at now is that on the biggest stage, LeBron and his team have been much more prepped for this. Because when everybody was talking about Cleveland in the regular season, they're falling apart. They were losing games that they should have won toward the end of the season. They lost one game. Warriors went through everybody, didn't lose a single game. And it also goes to show you how much health and luck plays a factor. Because
absolutely.
If Thomas didn't get hurt, that series probably between Cleveland and Boston goes 7 games. If Kawhi
and that
would have
been the same thing with Kawhi Leonard.
If Kawhi Leonard doesn't get hurt in that series in the Western Conference, the Spurs are not getting swept. It's a completely different team, right, with both teams out there. So the matchups are going to be key because now both Golden State and Cleveland are healthy. And we've seen what Cleveland can do defensively. We also
when
see
they
what
are
the
healthy.
Warriors can do defensively because of Kevin Durant.
It's funny, and I hate to interrupt you, but last year after Golden State came back from that 3-1 deficit to the Thunder, and Marv Albert, was just doing his closing statements, and he said something. He said, Cleveland this time has its full cast, unlike the previous series before. And that's why I think this will go 7 games. Everybody is healthy. And if everybody is healthy, despite the Warriors having Kevin Durant, and you have that same Cleveland team, there is no doubt in my mind, if Cleveland is healthy, they can win it again.
But this,
I think Golden State, though, after what happened last year, they have something that they have to prove.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
so,
you have to have something to prove this year.
Max, let's say the Cavs do win. Would this be a major blow to Kevin Durant's career? Because all eyes are on Kevin Durant really in this series because he made the biggest move that shocked everybody. If the Warriors don't win, what do you think they will make of Kevin Durant?
Wow, that is a tough question. You know something?
I'm good for that.
It is a fair question though, and I will say, Rodney, you do have a good point. If Cleveland does win this, that's a major blow, because you were brought here to help Golden State, you know, get over that hump from last year to win a championship. I think you have to say, you know, something, this might fail, you know, this signing, you know, might be a big time fail this year.
Well,
don't win the championship.
True. Well, here's the question that I've been wanting to ask, and I'm sure you guys will be able to give an answer. Now, for this game, for game one for Thursday, who do you think is going to be guarding Kevin Durant?
LeBron.
No,
oh,
but
absolutely.
They say LeBron, but a lot of experts says that this, that, you know, the Cavs shouldn't put LeBron. I was reading that earlier. They said that LeBron James on Kevin Durant for long stretches, you know, they're going to have him chase Kevin Durant all over the floor, but he'll be wiped out that game four.
Yeah. So that'll tire him out. So they'll probably flash Tristan Thompson on him and try to keep him off as much as he can. He'll probably be the X factor of the entire series, because I think that everybody knows the players that are involved in this. But I think Tristan Thompson is going to have to step up his game to be the X factor for Cleveland. That's what I think.
Yeah, because he's going to have to step up to try to stop Kevin Durant.
Okay, Matt.
Well, Thompson is 6'9", 238 pounds.
Okay, I can't see them keeping LeBron on him all night.
Hold on. I need to hear what Matt have to say. Unless he's sleeping.
Max, wake up, bro.
Okay,
Max.
He's sleeping. Sorry.
We'll come back to him when he wakes up.
Yeah. Hang on, guys. All right. I'm sorry. I
got distracted
by that.
Okay. Hey, here's a question I want to ask. I want to ask everybody this one, and I'm going to throw a couple things out, and then I want to see what everybody says about this one. I want anybody in this panel to let me know what you think at the end of this finals. If LeBron James wins, now mind you, he's going to now his seventh straight NBA Finals. He's taken two teams to the finals four times. What do you think his legacy would be if he wins? And then what do you think his legacy would be if he loses? I'm going to throw that to everybody out on the panel, and you guys give me what you think.
I think, let me go first. I think he has his legacy already, that he's one of the greatest of all time. If he loses, I think that could be a more burden on him, because as I asked you guys earlier, do you think this is one of his biggest threats in his career? Because I don't know what the media is after. What does he have to prove? I don't know. But he got MVPs. He got championships. He already built his – he's one of the best players. He passed Michael Jordan playoff scoring, you know, and he's still got years to come. So if he loses this one, the media will attack him, like, you know, you're a failure. Just like Sean and I talked about the other day, when he got sick last week, the media was trashing him when they lost against Boston. I'm like, really? After all what he did, he got sick. He did not do one good game that they lost. And the media and people are trashing him like he's garbage after what he did for Cleveland for the last two seasons. I'm like, yes, he's an arrogant son of a gun. I couldn't stand him, but he matured over the years. So that's what I believe what will happen to his legacy if he loses. But Phil, K-Dog?
I think when you look at LeBron James, you know, I mean, the first couple of championships he won with the Heat, granted that, and a lot of people would trash him at that time because it had to be a whole bunch of superstars, you know, to get together to do this. It's like everybody was saying he couldn't win it on his own. But then he met, you know, after whatever happened with the Heat, you know, they got blown out by the Spurs, you know, they got outmatched and outplayed, and, you know, I'm sure there were issues. He decided, okay, I need to get out of here. So what did he do? He knew what he did to Cleveland was wrong. He even admitted saying he should have handled things differently, not had that decision thing on ESPN. He went home and won a championship on his own. Granted, he did have some, you know, he did have some good supporting cast members.
So he
not
got a lot
great
of
superstars.
Help, please. He got a lot of help. They did Cleveland did all they can to cater to LeBron to kiss his ass.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he didn't have the players in Cleveland that he had on the Heat to help, you know, to help win a championship. It was he basically went home and said, I got to right this wrong, and he did it. You got to give him you got to give him credit, you know, to do it. You know, if he wins, you know, I think his legacy, he will go down as one of the greatest NBA players of all time. I mean, there is no doubt about that.
Okay.
Win or lose, I mean, I don't think it matters. He'll still, after it's all said and done, and, you know, after he retires, he'll be up there.
K-Dog?
From the looks of things, like, I look at this whole finals race. If he does win, LeBron James will be considered one of the greats, win or lose. Because, like Phil said earlier, about him heading over to Miami after that big decision when he won the championship with both Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. But then after, here he is going back to Cleveland and winning it. And what LeBron did was that he proved something to the NBA that, yes, I don't need Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh to win a championship, if you understand what I'm saying. Now he had to prove something to himself.
All right, Milton X, welcome back.
Yes. Good evening.
All right, who do you pick to win?
I hide the women and children.
Oh, gosh. Well, who do you pick? Do we got, like,
I think Golden State will win in the 6 or 7 games. It's simple mathematics.
Because of Kevin Durant?
Well, he's the X factor, if you think about it. Because they got a big four. Durant, Thompson, Curry, and Green, and Cleveland has a big three with James, Irving, and Love. The question is, who's going to be that fourth guy for Cleveland? And then that guy won't be consistent enough. And also, you really look at it, Golden State's a pretty defensive team. You know what I'm saying? Cleveland plays defense in spurts. They're not consistent defensively, unlike the Warriors are. So, you know, saying they had the best scoring and they had the best defense, they should have won.
Yeah, Golden State does have the scores between Curry, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Matt Barnes, and you put Kevin Durant in that mix.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's unstoppable.
Yeah, I want to ask you the same question that I asked the guys, Smoot. What do you think is LeBron's legacy if he wins? And what do you think his legacy is if he loses? Do you think he's going to have an issue? Will it hurt if he loses?
Let's be perfectly honest about something. LeBron James is this generation's Wilt Chamberlain. You understand? In that he basically, there hasn't been a player or athlete like him in a long time. The man basically plays all 5 positions on the court. He's the best scorer on the team, the best rebounder, the best defender, and the best passer.
And don't forget, he's a coach, too. He coached the team.
Exactly. And he does.
Basically, he's the general manager at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? He's handled all aspects of the game. So, you haven't had anyone like that since Wilt.
Yeah.
A man that size.
Yeah.
Basically, he's Magic. He's Jordan. He's Burr. He's all of that right now.
And
right now, he has the physical and the mental capacities in sync.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, he matured over the years. He got a lot better.
Yeah.
I don't. Max, are you still there? Are you awake?
Max, wake up, bro.
I guess not.
No. Okay, one of his Latina girlfriends has called him, so you know he must do what he do best. But
okay. But go ahead, Milton. Next.
But this is the thing. And he could even play to his 40s because he's 6'8", about 270 or 260. So he can, at age 41, 42, he's going to be a power forward, basically backing everybody down and hitting hook shots. He's going to play forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to end up breaking the all-time scoring record.
And he's got a body built for it.
So hold on.
He does. He's
Sean
dominant.
Sean and I, we argue about this all the time. I give it to Milton X first. Is it fair to compare LeBron James to other basketball players like Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, especially Kobe Bryant.
Well, I just did. I said he's the best.
No, no, no.
Wilt Chamberlain.
People on the streets keep comparing Michael Jordan versus LeBron, who's the greatest player of all time.
Well, that's the thing. People going to do that because everybody want to have their own opinion about this, that, and the third. To me, Jordan was the better scorer. But overall, as a basketball player, LeBron is better because he could do everything. Jordan couldn't do everything.
Well, there was a difference in teams that Jordan had with LeBron James. True, the Cleveland, you know, and you have to remember, it was a different generation of basketball that Jordan played in.
And also, let's be honest about something. The first team that LeBron took to the finals, that 2007 Cleveland team, was basically like the Jordan team that lost to the Bulls when Jordan got 63 points in the game. Kind of that talent level. But basically, it was LeBron and nothing else. And the same thing with Jordan. And Jordan was able to take his team to the finals, and Jordan, but the Bulls got knocked out early.
But,
you know what I'm saying?
Next, with that comparison, Michael Jordan is 6-0 in the finals compared to LeBron James.
Let's be honest about this too. Jordan played with a top 50 player in Scottie Pippen. You know what I'm saying? LeBron didn't have that until he got to, let's say, Miami with Dwayne Wade.
Sure.
Understand? And then you had one of the all-time rebounders in Dennis Rodman, and also one of the greatest coaches ever in Phil Jackson.
The defenses were changed, which helped a lot of jump shooters get a lot more open.
But the thing is,
because
Jordan had a lot more weaponry than LeBron has had in his career.
Because LeBron had
Dwayne Wade in sort of not only the prime, but like in the second half of his career.
Yeah.
I wanted, before you move on, there's one stat that I looked at that I think is the most ridiculous stat, and especially in the postseason, of a player that led his team outright in points, assists, and rebounds in a career in the postseason. LeBron has done that 39 times. You know who's second?
Yeah.
Larry Bird, and he did it 13 times. 39 to 13 in games where he has led his team outright in points, assists, and rebounds in the postseason. Think about that.
When LeBron finally retires and hangs it up, he's going to be recognized as the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
It's just that people just hate on him because of the Miami thing and even got the Jordan thing over him. But LeBron far from retirement. So another 10 years, it's going to be LeBron as the greatest player.
And he's 32.
But is it right?
That's what I'm saying.
He's
32 years old.
LeBron James has a lot of play in him. But gentlemen, you got to remember, like I said before, you know, you looked at the era that Jordan played in. You know, you had some top scorers, and Jordan himself didn't carry the whole Chicago Bulls team. He had a great supporting cast in Scottie Pippen, Steve Kerr, John Paxson, Dennis Rodman catching rebounds, Ron Harper. You know,
and remember that first year after Jordan left, the Bulls almost won that championship.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did.
And they actually did. Then we'd probably be looking at Jordan a bit differently.
And compare that to LeBron James when he left the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They went straight into the lottery.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Jordan, Jordan came back to the NBA after that 1 year off is because he wanted to try to be a baseball player. And at the time, remember that whole strike thing that was going on?
Right.
Jordan didn't want to be a replacement player. Because that's what was going to happen, and then the two sides, I believe, a week before the season was supposed to start, they came to an agreement.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why Jordan came back to the NBA and broke
my
heart
again. Jordan also had the gambling scandal prior to his father being killed. So
right. You
had that whole like few weeks from the NBA Finals in '93 when they beat Phoenix. To the gambling scandal of World War. Is he gambling, spending money, then his father passing away, then he needed the time away from the game. So who knows what could have happened had he not taking that time off.
True, but Sean, right. Remember, he won the NBA final on Father's Day on the same year his father passed away.
That
remember when
true.
He was on the floor crying
yes.
like crazy because he won
right.
because of his father got killed that
yeah.
time. It was the same year that happened.
Yeah. Here's
so,
the thing.
But
a lot of people look at that six and oh record of Jordan in the finals, and then they always look at that the end all be all stat of comparison. Well, Kobe Bryant will never be Jordan because he only won 5 rings, and if somebody wins 6 rings, it'll because they won 6 rings, but they didn't win 6 in a row, or they didn't
let's be honest about that.
Right.
People are going to rep for their era of basketball.
Of course.
Yes.
People that grew up in front of the Jordan era are going to rep for Jordan. People who grew up in the LeBron era are going to rep for LeBron, Kobe, same thing. So it's all going to be biased one way or another. So you get some old guy, he's going to say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Magic Johnson or somebody like that. Someone's going to say Bill Russell. You know, it's all semantics on, you know, what type of era you already were representative of.
That's what I'm saying. This all
okay.
depends on the era of basketball.
All right, we have 4 minutes left. I have to throw this question to Sean and Phil because you guys are New York Mets fans. What is up
yeah.
with the New York Mets? Why
you
the New York Mets are a mess again?
Well,
and please, don't tell me injuries.
Well, I was going to say that, but they did come back and win today. They did win. You know, I believe the final score was 4-2. Was it 4-2 or 4-3? I can't remember what the score is, but I know they did win. And I will say, Michael, the offense has not been that bad, and Michael Conforto has finally showing the player that we all know he is destined to be.
Sure. Sean?
But
yeah.
It's a mess.
Conforto looks like the guy that is doing that we've been hoping as Mets fans that he would blossom into. The problem with the Mets in general is that, one, way too inconsistent, and the inconsistency happens because of way too many injuries. Pitching staff.
And you just got tickets from ACH and shit. That's what the problem
pretty
is.
Pretty much, yeah.
They need some ACH.
Do you guys blame Terry Collins for that?
Some of his decisions are questionable, but you know what? You can only go so far as to blame the manager.
He's playing from a short deck. So how are you
exactly.
going to blame
yeah.
Collins for that?
Yeah, like I said before.
Well,
I
am.
Injuries.
You know, I'm glad you guys brought up the subject of the Mets, and you know, I brought up a point about Jordan playing baseball before, and I'm gonna go out on a limb as a Mets fan, and I know the Triple C. I know he's probably listening to us, and he might agree with me on this. If the Mets do not contend for the playoffs, probably around August, September, we'll know. I'm going to go on a limb and say Tim Tebow gets called up to the majors.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
You say that like Tim Tebow. First of all, Tim Tebow isn't even relevant anymore. So why would he even do that?
Why? He got 3 home runs.
There has been talk of him getting promoted after the All-Star break.
Oh,
looking at it,
if the Mets aren't in contention, no one's going to care anyway.
Oh, he's not going to. He's not getting called up if they are not.
Sorry, I got to wrap it up because the time is up now. Shout out to the Phenom and good luck to your New York Mets. and Sean, guys, thank you again for another great show. Can't wait to do another sports show again. I will let you know.
Oh yeah,
ladies and gentlemen. Max, I hope he's still awake or still asleep somewhere.
Wake up, Max. If he's calling from his cell phone, his bill is going to
get the reveille horn for him.
But, guys, thank you so much, and have a good night, everyone. Thank
you. Too,
all
right.
Good night, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Bye, everybody.
All right. Hey, Sean, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Sean, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you for tuning in. I'm sorry, I lost my mic. Thank you for tuning in. Play was yours.
Yes.
What's the nature of your mic?
Who knows?
I'm in the bathroom again. Oh. Good night.
Oh. Good night, everybody.